Psalm 34. Now, if you were here last week, Brother Bill brought an inspiring message to us, really, about our identity in Christ. And it was wonderful. We have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. And he gave us an outline, and I really think it's something that we can remember. I'm a saint, and I'm not a sinner. Now, I'm a saint that sins, but I'm no longer a sinner by that. I'm also a child of God through adoption, and I'll speak a little bit more about that this morning. I'm the temple of God, and I serve as his priest, and I'm a friend of God and not his enemy. Wow, that's great stuff, isn't it? All right, and we had, and I will tell you this, I got a text from someone who was here who's not here today, so I feel at liberty that I can share this with you. And Brother Bill, you don't know this. I got a text. It was a very lengthy text, and it had to do with the fact that this person visited and it was having some real problems in her life, and people were just dragging her down and telling her things that she shouldn't be hearing. And she said she was so glad she came here last Sunday because it was exactly what she needed to hear. And so I just, you know, I praise the Lord for that, because that is so exciting to know that, and Brother Bill, I know, and Michael, I think you do too, that sometimes in the ministry, you get real discouraged because things just don't seem to be going your way, or things are not happening the way you want it to happen. And then, you know, the Lord just goes, son, here you go. And that's an exciting thing for us. So I just really praise the Lord. And with all those wonderful truths, our response should be to worship the Lord, right? I mean, that's something we need to do. And our scripture reading says that. Psalm 34, verse 1 says, I will bless the Lord when?
At all times.
All right? He shall, when? Continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. See, these are all verbal things, aren't they? The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Folks, that's verbally praising the Lord. That's the way you do it. So this is the third message on worship. Remember, we're looking at acceptable worship as described in the scripture. Much of the world today offers false worship, the kind of worship that focuses on material things, on different forms, the different rituals, a worship really that's designed to please the worshiper and not God who we're supposed to be worshiping. Because it's not how awesome the music sounds, it is not how the mood was set for the gathering, and it's not even how great you feel when you leave. Remember, we quoted this. Worship is not about us. All right, let's say that again. Worship is not about us. It's not. Worship is giving glory and honor to God out of a pure and dedicated body and a mind that's been transformed by the Word of God. That's the only way to worship God acceptably. That's the inward, reasonable presentation of worship, a total surrender to God. Now, last time, not last week, but the last time I preached on this, the outward reasonable presentation of acceptable worship. Remember, we talked about praising him with musical instruments. Where's my drum? Okay, my drum's not here. All right. Also, praising him with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, sharing the gospel with unbelievers, meeting the physical needs of people, and giving to the Lord, and, oh, yes, being faithful to the family. And by that, I mean, we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but much more as you see the day approaching. That's kind of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, word for word. So just so you know that. I mean, and all of these areas are best described by the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So today I want to look at the upward presentation of acceptable worship. See, God wants us to worship him all the time in everything we do. In fact, it says over 200 times in the Old Testament, 100 times in the Psalms alone. In fact, he made angels whose sole job was to surround him and verbally worship him. Listen to Revelation chapter 7, verses 11 and 12. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, now here it comes. You ready? Everybody hang on. Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. And all God's children and his angels said, amen. Amen. Verbally praising the Lord is a powerful tool, folks. So I guess the question is, how do you really use that tool? Right here. That's how you use it. You open your mouth. You get used to speaking the word, praising the Lord. There are so many ways that we can do that without being obnoxious, without being in your face kind of stuff. Have a blessed day. That's one way. Lord bless you. That's another way. Praising the Lord. We can do it in every situation. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I know, Pastor, you say, you just don't understand my situation. I'm worried about paying the rent. I mean, I'm worried about buying food and medications. I'm worried about my family. Pastor, I'm worried about my marriage. Write this verse down. It's Proverbs 12, 25. Proverbs 12, 25. Worry in a person's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. Woo! See, we need to be able to speak some good words here. So let me give you some good words. Now, wait a minute. Let me give you some great words. Now, let me give you God's words, all right? That's the best word I can think of. Psalm 55, 22 says, cast your burdens on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. Woo-hoo. Hello. Philippians chapter 4, we're familiar with this verse. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, our Lord. You say, Pastor, sometimes I doubt that God is going to provide. I'm afraid I'm not going to make it. Well, I've got God's words for you about doubt. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, Paul said, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He's going to take care of us. Worry and doubt cause us to lose our praise. But no matter what our circumstances, whether they're good or they're bad or they're hard, we can verbally praise the Lord. We can praise him for who he is. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. Folks, our God is an awesome God. Amen. He is. Now, with that in mind, you got your finger there in Psalm 34. Turn over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Hello. Listen to who we are. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. Paul says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit, that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Whew. We are children and heirs to the throne. Mind-boggling, folks. Not only that, if you go down to verse 26, the Holy Spirit is our helper. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You see, as children of God, God hears our prayers, and he answers our prayers. Even when we don't know what to pray for, the Holy Spirit translates it for us. I don't know whether you've had that experience. I've had that experience, where I have no clue how to pray for a person, and I just say, Lord, you know, and I'm giving this to you. And the Holy Spirit takes it and works it so that it goes to there exactly like it's supposed to. I don't know how that works. Michael and I were talking about when we get to heaven, you know, he wants to talk to the Apostle Paul, and I said, so do I, and that'd be after Jesus, but I think there'll probably be a line there for that one. So, you know, we have so many things we don't understand. Hey, welcome to the club. We all have things like that, but the Holy Spirit translates them for us. Now look at Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 28. Now, I'm going to try and be as calm as I can through this passage of Scripture. Now, I'm going to tell on my wife. My wife is back there going like this. Calm down. And so I'm going to be as calm as I can as we get through Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 28 to the end of the chapter, because it is, in my estimation, the greatest chapter and the greatest passage in the whole Word of God. Now, you can argue with me. And you can say that I'm wrong, and you can come up afterwards, and you can apologize. Okay? That's the way it works. All right. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For those who he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And those who he predestined, he called. Those whom he called, he justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. Wow! Do you see that? Do you see what I just saw? We have been justified. No sin on our account. It's just as if we have never sinned. When you trust the Lord as your Savior, it's like one of these whiteboard things where you write on it, and when you trust the Lord as your Savior, the Lord comes and goes, and it's gone, folks. I mean, it's like 59 Cadillac. It's gone, right? We've been justified. We've also been glorified. You know, the scripture says, this world's not our home. We're just passing through, right? Because we are seated in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. That's our position in Christ. We're already there. Wow. So we're, you know, when you say something like, how you doing? You say, under the circumstances, I'm doing okay. What are you doing under the circumstances? I mean, we are living in the Lord. And God is working everything in our lives so that we will be like Jesus in every way. To give like the Lord gave. To sacrifice like the Lord Jesus sacrificed. To serve like he served. To love like Jesus loved. That's what God is doing in our lives. To worship like Jesus worshiped. Someone had asked Michelangelo how he created the statue of David. And he said, the sculpture is already complete within the marble block before I start the work. It's already there. I just have to chisel away the superfluous material. Now let me put that into modern language for you. I just have to knock off everything that doesn't look like David. That's what he was saying. Hey, that's what God's doing in our lives, folks. He's just knocking off the things that don't look like Jesus. Now, I know for me, he's having a really tough time knocking off the things that don't look like Jesus. Maybe you're in the same boat. I don't know. But the point is, that's what that's what God is doing in our lives. And so sometimes we get in these hard spots and we don't understand why God's doing what he's doing. Just remember, he's got that chisel. He's knocking off little pieces, a little bit at a time, trying to conform you. Remember, being conformed to the image of his Son. That's what he's doing in our lives. And then Paul closes this passage of Scripture with four questions and answers about our relationship with Christ, beginning in verse 31. Here's the first question. What shall we say then to these things? The things being that we are justified, that we are glorified, those things. He says, if God's for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? I have come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. Wow. Here's the second question. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God who justifies. Remember? Just as if you never sinned. Here's the third one. Who is he that condemns? Who can condemn you? It's Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. The Holy Spirit interceding along with him. Here's the last one. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. And then Paul ends with the great verbal praise of all praises. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in creation. Did he leave anything out? No. Can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You talk about upward vocal worship. Folks, it don't get no better than that. I mean, that's great. I didn't get too high, did I? Oh, okay, good. So to worship God with verbal praise is to worship him vocally. But we also worship God when we pray. Most of us are familiar with Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. It's called the disciples' prayer or the Lord's prayer. Actually, it's a beautiful illustration by the Lord of how we are to pray. Not what we are to pray, but how we're to pray. The way, kind of how we pray. Let's say it together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The model prayer begins and it ends with praise. It begins with, hallowed be thy name. And it ends with, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. We need to start our prayers with praise. We need to end our prayers with praise. You see, God's honored when we praise him in our prayers because, folks, he's our creator. He is our sustainer. He provides for us. He protects us. When we are speaking words of glory and honor to God when we pray, hallowed be thy name. You see, God is worthy of our worship. Now, I know some of you say, Pastor, I'm disappointed because God really isn't answering my prayers. I mean, I pray and pray and God doesn't seem to hear me. I got a news flash for you, folks. God hears everything. He's God. He hears it all. He really does. In fact, Psalm 139, verse 4, David said, you know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. That's amazing. The only other person I know that can do that's my wife. She seems to know what I'm going to say before I say it, you know, and I always want to say to her, no, that's not it, but it's always it. I mean, she always gets it right. That's just a sidebar. You don't have to think of it. Okay. And when we ask in prayer, not with unconfessed sin in our lives, and not for our own selfish reasons, but according to John, when he says, according to the Lord's will, he hears us. And we know that if he hears us in what we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have made of him. Wow. So we worship God vocally with our praise. We worship God when we pray. We also worship, we're to worship persistently. Persistently. You know, all too often our praise and our worship is something that we leave at church. We sing the praise songs and we wave our hands and we praise the Lord and we go hallelujah. We walk out the door and we're grumbling and complaining. Somebody got my parking spot. You know, that kind of stuff. Praise should be a part of a believer's lifestyle. At work, in your car, at home, anywhere. Isn't that what our psalm said? I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Folks, God's worthy of our worship, isn't he? He's worthy of our praise. Psalm 104, verse 1 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty." See, when we come to God, before God in worship, we're to bless his name. Psalm 100, verse 4 says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name." When we give glory and praise and honor to God, we're worshiping him. The writer in the book of Hebrews said, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." I believe this really kind of sums up our worship. Continually, persistently praising God. And folks, as I said, we just don't do it here on Sunday morning or even Wednesday night. I mean, this is a 24/7, 365. This year it's 366. But it's nevertheless all that I'm trying to tell you, all the time. So what is the sacrifice of praise? We even have a song, don't we? We bring the sacrifice of praise. Right? What is it? Well, we don't have to guess. He said, "It is the fruit of your lips giving thanks to his name." That's the sacrifice of praise. You live as a sacrifice to God with your voice that always acknowledges God in praise and thanksgiving. That's it. Let me ask you a question. You a complainer? You a grumbler, maybe? Grumblers really, you know, it's like murmur. You know, murmur describes itself, doesn't it? Murmur is murmur. How about critical? You critical of everything you see? God wants us to constantly have thanksgiving in our hearts. The first thing out of our mouths, the last thing before we go to sleep, ought to be praise and worship. That's how you live the sacrifice of praise. You live with thanks to God in your hearts and on your lips. Then the writer goes on in Hebrews to say, "And don't forget to do good to those and share with those in need. These are the sacrifices that please God." Professing his name, telling other people, doing good, sharing with others. Those are the sacrifices that are pleasing to the Lord. You see, true worship touches every aspect of our lives. In good times, we praise the Lord. Listen to Isaiah 63. "I will tell of the Lord's unfailing love. I will praise him for all he's done for us. He has richly blessed his people because of his mercy and his constant love." See, that's praise in the good times. But what about the hard times? In everything, give thanks, right? We're supposed to praise him then. Psalm 37, verses 23 and 24. "The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them up by the hand." Folks, you're having a hard time. The Lord's got a hold of you. He's not going to let you go. Amen. He's going through it. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? Because God's with us. And we need to worship the Lord. We need to uplift him. Listen to Psalm 36. "Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. How precious is your steadfast love, O God." Folks, that's what acceptable worship is. It is deliberate. It's active. It involves our thoughts. It involves our emotions. It involves our words. A life that seeks to please and glorify the Lord in very specific ways. Offering praise, professing his name, doing good, sharing with others. They're the offerings that are pleasing to the Lord. And one other thing, they are to be done with a pure motive. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22 says, "Let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Folks, worship is who we are as believers. Worship is what we do as believers. Our theme verse, the verse you've been hearing me say all through this, is Psalm 29, verse 2. "Give unto the Lord the glory, do his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." Now, the Apostle Paul is a great example of someone who chose verbal praise in hard circumstances. God had told him to go to Philippi. And when he gets there, he finds a group of ladies down by the river worshiping. He goes down, he talks to a lady named Lydia, leads her to the Lord. She brings him, her house gets saved. They establish the church in Philippi. That's a wonderful thing. One day, Paul's casting a demon out of this slave girl, and the owners just get all bent seven ways to no place because their livelihood was gone. And so they arrest him. Listen to Acts chapter 16, verses 22 and following. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Paul and Silas had done nothing wrong. They had done absolutely nothing wrong. And they could have responded in just blazing anger at what was going on. In fact, if you remember, Michael and I were talking about this. You remember at the end of this chapter, they finally say, well, we're going to let Paul and Silas go, so you guys go ahead and go. And Paul says, no, wait a minute. You publicly put me in jail. You're publicly going to let me go. You know, he was standing up for what he believed in. But he had done nothing wrong. Paul replied, he relied on the promise in Isaiah 41:10, and many of us know this. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So what did Paul do in response to the treatment? Verse 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Vocal praise. Right? I mean, they're just singing, bless the Lord, oh my soul, even these stocks that are holding me, or something along those lines. All right. And it says, suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bonds were loosed. He sang praises to God. He was in a hard situation. Boy, he was in it. I mean, he was hooked up. He filled that cell with praises, singing, glorifying the Lord in that painful situation. He held up the shield of faith through his praises. Folks, we can do the same. Now, I don't think that we, are anything like the Apostle Paul. Psalm 34:1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Folks, when we feel like complaining, when we feel like we're being mistreated, we can respond and praise the Lord. And didn't Jesus say something about loving your enemies? Bless them that persecute you? And some hard sayings, folks. They really are. But nevertheless, didn't the Lord do that? And aren't we supposed to be following the Lord? We can respond in praise to the Lord. Now, God may not set us free physically like he did Paul and Silas, but when we choose to praise the Lord like that, we can overcome Satan. Listen to Psalm 66. Shout joyful praises to God, all the earth. Sing about the glory of his name. Tell the world how glorious he is. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds, and your enemies will cringe before your mighty power. You see, when we praise God in our trying circumstances, amazing things begin to happen in our hearts and in our lives. And we touch heaven as we praise him. Psalm 22, verse 3 says, God inhabits the praise of his people. See, when we praise the Lord in the hard times, he'll use us to reach those who are having problems in their life. We know this verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us so that we can turn around and comfort other people who are having the same problems. You see, we could be the ones who bring a message of salvation and glory and grace in their lives. So there you go, folks. Those are the three areas of acceptable worship. Inward is giving glory and honor to God out of a pure and dedicated body and a mind that has been transformed by the Word of God. The outward act of acceptable worship is praising Him with our instruments, praising Him in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, sharing the gospel with the unbelievers, meeting the physical needs of people, giving to the Lord, being faithful to the family. And the upward acceptable worship is verbally praising God in all that we do, worshiping Him in our prayers with persistence and with purity. So I want to close with this. How can I put into worship those words that we have heard? I can't think of a better way than this. I love You, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship You. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what You hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in Your ear. Psalm 150, verse 6 says, let every living, breathing creation praise God. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful and thankful for all You do in our lives. Lord, we lift up our praises to You. We're thankful for all that You do and the things that are accomplished in our lives. And as we come before You in communion this morning, I just pray that each one of us would examine our own lives. Are we praising You? Are we allowing this world to crumble us? Father, I just pray that each one of us would look toward You, lift You up. We are to remember You until You come again. And as we have communion this morning, I just pray that each one of us would examine our own lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before we have